So welcome to another episode of Snap Aim Podcast, coming to you live. If you are listening to this after recording and editing, welcome, welcome, hello, happy to have you. So again, today is slightly light on gaming news, but I mean, that's fine because that means we can go off topic and rant quite a bit. First bit of news off topic. If you're watching on video, I got bored and decided to dye my hair again. So it is now back to blonde. I was going to wait a month. Could not watch. I'm not by the end of the month. I'm going to want to dye it another color. Anyways, I know this is my toxic trait. I fully own this. It's fine. Another bit of, I don't know, kind of housekeeping. I've also been approved to go to Indie PopCon, which is really cool. So if you don't know what that is, it's kind of like a Comic-Con convention in Indiana. I am going to go. It's June 27th to the 29th, I believe. So I'll be there. I don't think I'm doing any panels because I was a little bit late on panel submission. But if y'all are in the Midwest, if you're going to Indie PopCon, I will be there. Maybe I'll try to do a meetup. That'd be really cool. I think I have quite a few Midwest listeners and viewers, but we'll see. Anyways, just putting that on the radar. Okay, so let's get to the news. There's one particular bit that I'm really interested in because I have been keeping my eye on this game ever since it revealed. Eurogamer reported on this. Remedy's Control spinoff FBC Firebreak has only come together at the last minute and somehow feels better for it, which is great. This was reported to us. It's a feature by Chris Tapsell, deputy editor. And I said, Hyunin, I'm so sorry if I mispronounced that, Remedy's lead designer and FBC Firebreak and studio veteran of more than 25 years, is one of those really dangerous designers. This is how his colleague, the game's director, Mike Kayata, puts it to me in a conversation at Remedy's predictably stylish headquarters in Espoo on the quiet gray outskirts of Finland's capital, Helsinki. How did I not know that Remedy, their headquarters, is in Finland? Huh, I did not know that. Anyways, yes, Kayata means it as a compliment, although maybe just a tinge of truth to it as well. He's dangerous because, as Kayata puts it, he's one of the rare few designers who can make his ideas manifest faster than he can tell you what it is. An example, per Kayata, Ansi will be like, okay, what if we had this guidance drone that helped players? And before Kayata can respond with an, I'm not sure about that, it's already in the game. That's really funny. Goes on to say, it all sounds a little bit dysfunctional at first, as far as game development practices go, but then you play FBC Firebreak and realize, actually, it might also be kind of brilliant. And talking to Kayata, for example, as well as Ansi himself, I also realized this is emblematic of FBC Firebreak's development as a whole. This is a game that's truly only come together now in the final few months leading up to its mid-June launch. They both argue that that's part of making these kinds of games, the kinds that come with a heavy reliance on systemic design and cause and effect. They argue that the controlled chaos of development is essential, somehow, to FBC Firebreak's nature as an inherently, intentionally chaotic kind of game. They got to play it for a couple of hours, and it's nothing if not chaotic, and I'm very excited. So if you forget what FBC Firebreak is, it is that co-op game where you go into, I believe it is actually the Bureau, right? If you're not familiar with Control, it is a weird, weird, like, kind of mind-fucky game about these extra, like, these other forces that you can't really explain, but it's like the, oh my god, what is it called? I'm doing a bad job of this. Let me see if I can do this for, let me see if I can read something that's a little bit better for this, because I have not played Control. I tried to play Control. I got very bored. I know it's a good game. I got very bored and also got very creeped out, so I stopped. So I know. So basically, Control takes place in the Federal Bureau of Control, which is a secretive U.S. government agency, and it investigates supernatural events and other entities that are throughout the world. So they kind of keep it all in check, right? But something happens at the Bureau and shit kind of goes down. So that's kind of the basic overview of that. Now, FBC, Firebreak, is a spin-off co-op game that is coming, and you're basically these cleaners who go in to clean up these anomalies and supernatural things, right? So let me go ahead and pull up a trailer real quick. I was immediately intrigued by this because I think it's super cool. I do love it. It also reminded me of stuff like Left 4 Dead, right? Because I do miss that kind of game. I miss that era of co-op, right? So this is, if you're watching a video, this is what FBC Firebreak looks like. I'm very much excited for this because I just want more co-op games to play. And it's a good thing to hear that a lot of people have liked their time in it when they got early access to it. It looks great. Again, it reminds me of those... just watching the trailer. It definitely reminds me of Left 4 Dead, but like in a cleaner, more corporate setting, right? Because you're in the FBC, like you're in this government building, right? And it's like a secretive building. No one knows it exists. That's like the whole thing with the general population. You have no idea it exists because they take care of everything, and then something happens. So yeah, I'm very excited for this game. I think it'll be really fun. I hope the classes are cool. If you watch the trailer, you can see that there are different kind of movement that you can have with each character. Like if you have a sledgehammer, you move a little bit slower. There's also a gun that lets you like shoot down and you'll jump up, which is really cool. So yeah. And to specify, these are not zombies. These are like the supernatural entities that are just around, that have like broken the dimension into our universe, right? So that's kind of what we're doing. We're cleaning this up, right? Which is called Firebreak because you're kind of the cleaners. You know, you come in and, you know, you clean everything up, whether that's through fire or not. And I actually didn't see this trailer before where one of the enemies kind of, or someone gets taken over by post-it notes and then becomes a creature. That's kind of funny. I'm very excited for this. And it's very good to hear early preview impressions say that they're very happy with this, that it looks good. It feels good. It's chaotic, but it's like a good chaotic. I don't know. I don't mind chaos in games like this. I feel like that just makes the experience better, right? So yeah, Eurogamer was reporting on this. They were talking about their time on it. Oh yes, and Remedy explains that Firebrick can avoid the usual live service traps of launching today, which is great. So they're not going to do the live service model, which is cool. Let me go ahead and read this real quick. So yeah, this is all PvE. It's a Control spinoff. Let me see if I can find the thing about live service. Okay. So Ansi, the lead designer, said, "For me, at least one element there in the conversation is the always the predatory practices and player retention. Instead of battle passes, daily objectives, and the like, for instance, Firebreak has a somewhat old school approach of a set of upgrades to your weapons and kits and a set of unlockable perks, both earned through the main loop of playing rounds of the game, collecting resources, and spending them on said unlocks." Love that. Okay, I love that. It'll be interesting to see how that feels in practice. Ansi says, "Remedy has intentionally aimed to make it something you can dip in and out of. The session lengths are short. We are almost thinking we don't have time to play games ourselves. What kind of game would we like to play that doesn't need to be sucking us in? You know, when you lock in, you have 12 faces of stuff that has happened that just reading through makes your time gone by for the night." So that's kind of like the, when I talked to, oh my goodness, what is his name? I am blanking on this. Dude, my brain is not waking up again. Helldivers 2. I talked to, Johan Pilestedt from Arrowhead about Helldivers 2. He wanted this game. He wanted Helldivers 2 to be something that you could go into and come out of very easily, because I was telling him at DICE, after the DICE Awards, I was like, hey, I love your game. A lot of my friends who are dads, they don't have a lot of time to game anymore. But Helldivers 2 is something that they always have time for, because they can go and do one mission and get out. They can come back. Then they can continue on the campaign if they want. If you're not aware of, the campaign is usually 3 long-ish missions, maybe like 15, 20 minutes. It really goes as long as you want it to, right? Like, you can prolong it to the end. Like, you can push the limit to the time limit to the full extent, or you can make it as short as you want. So, Johan had said that that's kind of what he had wanted to do, because, you know, he's like, yeah, some people don't have time to just spend all their night in one game, right, for one match. So it's really nice to see Firebreak also taking that approach, because for me, especially for someone who really likes to stay kind of stimulated by a specific game, it's nice that it seems to be condensed into a little bit of time, and then you can always go back in and have another experience. So I do like that. Ansi, actually, okay. So like I said, Kaya, okay. So I'm glad I made that connection between Left 4 Dead and Firebreak, because Kayata said the studio's inspiration in Left 4 Dead, they were inspired by Left 4 Dead. And it was a case of looking back and saying, wow, wasn't that a great game? But also from the perspective of nostalgia, like, wasn't it great when you could buy a game and it might be supported over time, but ultimately I can pick it up and put it down. I can enjoy that game on my own terms, not on the game's terms, because it feels like so many things have tried to come for Left 4 Dead went in the opposite direction, where they're like, oh, here's the fun gameplay. Oh, yeah, but battle passes and seasons. Kayeta goes on to say, I'm not saying all these things are always evil. It's not true, but ultimately it is something that starts to try to tell you how to engage. And not just like when you're in the game, but actually when you're out of the game, where you come back to the game. How often do you need to play the game? Check in, do this, do that. I very much appreciate that. I know I was talking about this the other day, but I am exhausted with live service games. Don't get me wrong. I love Call of Duty. I love Fortnite. I love Apex. But I am so burnt out. There is only so many games I can be playing at one time, especially like competitive FPSs, where I'm just like, oh my God, I can't keep up with all this. I actually stopped buying battle passes for a lot of things. I did buy the battle pass or Fallout First for Fallout 76, but that's because it's different. And I feel like it offers a different experience. It doesn't really feel like I'm grinding for anything. There's like nice bonuses. And the biggest draw for paying for Fallout First for me is the fact that I can have my own private server. So if any of y'all play Fallout 76 and want to hop on a nice chill server, let me know. Yeah. There are just so many games right now, especially, and here's the thing. I do love that these live service games, a lot of them are free to play, right? And so buying the battle pass and everything, it's very much secondary to the actual gameplay. If you want skins, you want this, yeah, whatever, it's great. So that being secondary is great, but also it's like, okay, but you want people to be buying this because this is your main income for this game. I think Remedy taking this route ensures not only their success, but also like their financial stability. And also players will just be really happy to play this game, like buy it, have it in their library, be able to revisit it whenever they want, especially with new updates. Also, usually with things like this, I don't know what the format is going to be here, because I know in Left 4 Dead and things like Back 4 Blood, all of the levels were so similar, right? Like you go through the level and you know, and what you can do is repeat missions, which got pretty boring. I know Left 4 Dead had other modes, right? Like the PvP, where you could be the zombie and attack your friends. I don't know if they're going to have that in this. I've purposefully not been looking at anything with FBC Firebreak, because again, like I said the other day, I try to keep things as spoiler free for myself as possible now that I have the luxury of doing so. So aside from that other trailer I just watched today, I don't know a whole lot about it. So it'll be fun to go into it blind. But yeah, if they offer something sort of like a Helldivers campaign, where like, you know, you go into, you can choose missions, you know, it'll be on like a certain level, but like the objective is different each time, I think that could be really fun. Could be really fun. Let's see. FBC Firebreak is set to release June 17th this year. Oof, almost a month out. And on the 12th of this month in May, they actually opened up closed technical tests. So you can now sign up for that if you want, which could be really cool. I would, but I genuinely don't think I have the time for it. So unfortunately, I cannot. But yeah, very excited for that. I think it'll be something that I very much enjoy with friends. I think it'll be a great like Friday night game to dive into, you know? Yeah. Okay. So the other news item that I think was kind of cool is... So we all love, oh wait, hold on. What is happening? Okay. So everyone knows who Katsuhiro Harada is, right? The Tekken director. He is trying to bring the game to Waffle House. I saw this headline going around yesterday and I thought it was fake. But no, it's real. GameSpot reports from Lan Pitts. What started as a meme has sort of become a quest of sorts for Tekken boss Katsuhiro Harada. Last summer, Harada became morbidly curious about the diner chain, asking his followers what the deal was with these brawls and the culture behind it. He tried to get an official collaboration going similar to other past collabs with New Japan Pro Wrestling and The Walking Dead, but that doesn't seem to be on the table. Harada took to Twitter updating his fans and followers on the situation and confirmed Waffle House has not returned his calls, but he's trying to find a way around it. Okay, so Harada wrote, "To be honest, within the bounds of what I can say, I fully understand your guys' request. That's precisely why I had considered taking on this challenge. In fact, I had already been thinking about it quite a few years ago. Over the past year or more, I've actually tried to make contact through several different channels. However, this is purely my own speculation. I suspect that the lack of response may be due to the fact that the project I'm known for revolves around fighting-themed video games. By the way, no response equals very rare case." He also said, "If we can't get that house name license, how about we call it Hustle House Stage? Doesn't that make sense to everyone? I wouldn't hate a Hustle House fighting grounds that maybe sells pancakes instead of waffles." Wait, no, he should just parody it and say Pancake House, right? I feel like that works. I think that's really funny. I would love that. Tekken 8 already has collabs coming up with Pac-Man and Karate Kid Legends and has a lot more updates coming, which is great. So American style. Yes, IHOP lawyers are getting ready, or maybe IHOP wants to get into it. But I mean, in comparison to Waffle House, IHOP is like, I don't know. IHOP is a more, it's a less violent joint. But I do think that it would be really funny for them to do the parody. I think at this point, that might be the best way to do it. It would be really, really cool to see a Waffle House in there just because it's such a weird piece of like American culture at this point. But I do think that could be really cool. Oh, okay. G brings up Pancake House versus International House of Pancakes equals easy lawsuit. I honestly did not even realize the International House of Pancakes was a thing. I totally forgot. As you can see, I am not a pancake or waffle connoisseur. I kind of make those things at home, or I go to, or yeah, I do go to IHOP because they have gluten-free pancakes. For those of y'all who don't know, I can't really have gluten because it messes up my stomach. I have like an actual histamine reaction to it. So I don't have an actual allergy to it, but my body reacts to it like I do. Thank you, Potts. Anyways, so I'm not a huge connoisseur of that unless I make it at home. I go to a place that does make gluten-free options, which IHOP does, which is great, which is why I like them. I used to be a Denny's person, but now I'm an IHOP girly. All right. GameSpot also reports on Borderlands 4 featuring substantial changes for co-op players. Okay, here's the thing. I feel really bad saying this, but... look, I'm just going to be real with y'all. I kind of don't care about the new Borderlands game. Don't hurt me. I'm saying what I said because I play Borderlands 2 loved it. But after about halfway through the game, I was like, okay, I get it. I'm kind of done. Played Tiny Tina's Wonderlands, got to, I got maybe like a quarter of the way in. And I was like, okay, this is fun. I'll play this again with a group of friends. First of all, it's hard to get a group of friends on to play a big, long campaign like that. Second of all, it's just once you've played, I think, maybe like 5 hours, 4 or 5 hours of Borderlands, you kind of get the gist, right? I feel like it's one of those games where it's, I don't know, it's just so... What is it called? When you get too much, it's too looter shooter heavy. You get so much loot every time. You're just like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to switch to. There's so much and you just get overwhelmed. At least me specifically. But yeah, in my opinion, once you've played a Borderlands, you kind of know it. Saints says, I don't feel like anyone really does. I mean, there are some hardcore Borderlands fans though. And Fel says, I can't relive the last 5 years of repetitive internet memes again. It's a pass. Oh, so you mean you didn't like when Marvel Rivals did the screaming goat sound on their Loki map? You mean you didn't like that? So funny. Yeah, honestly, Bandito Mac, if Borderlands went the Destiny route, I think I'd be more inclined to be interested, right? Because I think there could be more they could do. There could be raids, there could be dungeons. I think that could be really cool, right? That conversion could actually really work. That's another live service game for me to focus on, right? Okay, so let's see. On this report from Darren Bonthuis, hopefully I said that right, from GameSpot, says, during PAX East 2025, Borderlands 4 developer Gearbox hosted a panel in which it revealed more details on the upcoming looter shooter. One of the primary topics of conversation related to quality of life changes for co-op, as Gearbox is aiming to address complaints from previous games in the Borderlands series and apply these improvements to the sequel. The game will feature instant loot for every player, which is great, very much needed. They also talked about Borderlands 4 having a dynamically scaled difficulty for each player and co-op as well to keep the game fairly challenging. Other big upgrades include a completely revamped lobby system, drop-in and drop-out co-op, and best of all, fast travel to friends. Co-op is a religion to us. If you play co-op, it is the best-in-class co-op by far, Randy Pitchford says. Having just gotten off the discussion of Left 4 Dead 2, I do not agree with that. I don't agree with that take. Anyways, he says, we have revamped the lobby system so it's easier than ever to connect with people, easier to get into a cooperative game. It's drop in, drop out, none of this play for 3 hours and then you can start co-op. No, just get in, people can just drop in and drop out. I feel like that's not... I fear this is not... a revolutionary mechanic, Randy. Welcome to modern gaming, Randy. But also, that is not a unique concept. Anyways, this PAX panel also touched on a few other topics, like the revamped loot chase. Expect far fewer legendary class weapons in comparison to Borderlands 3, and the other two Vault Hunters joining Vex and Rafa were also revealed. In case you don't want to play as a Siren or a TD or ex-soldier, you can also choose to experience the game as Harlow the Gravatar or Amon the Forge Knight. None of this means anything to me. Borderlands 4 will launch for PC, PS5, Xbox Series X and S, and Switch 2 on September 12th. On the Switch 2, interesting. They have not specified a price, and Pitchford has not given any hint as to what the price is going to be. So, I don't know. I'm not... really looking forward to this. This will be out for people, and I think it'll be nice for people to have an option. I do feel bad for the developers that this is coming right off the tails of that awful Borderlands movie. But, you know, what can you do? What can you do? Ooh, I downloaded, let's see, let me just check my Xbox app. I actually preloaded Doom the Dark Ages, which I believe unlocks in 4.5 hours. I'm so excited to meet my husband, Doomslayer, in game again. It'll be so nice. I'm very excited. I'm actually going to look at how long it takes to beat Doom the Dark Ages. It takes about 17 to 20 hours to beat. Oh my God, that's great. Wait, okay. So I think the best thing for me to do right now, because I'm between a bunch of games, I'm between Fallout 4, Fallout 76, Baldur's Gate 3, because, you know, patch 8 came out, Expedition 33, South of Midnight, I'm between all of that. This is the shortest game out of all of those for me to play. So I could just beeline this. I could just drive into this. I think that's what I may do. So hopefully no one was waiting for me to go back to any of those games anytime soon. As much as I love Expedition 33 and I know I need to stay on that path. This is, Doom seems 17 to 20 hours. We could beat that within like a week, half a week, right? I think that might be the best thing for me to do here. Yeah. So that'll be fun. Oh yeah, I got the pizza skin for Doom Eternal because I, or not Eternal, sorry, the Dark Ages, because I went to the Prince Street pizza party last week. It's really funny. The pizza was really good though. Shout out to Xbox for getting me out there. Love y'all. Thank you so much. The pizza had pepperoni, spicy hot honey sauce, habanero peppers, like full slices of habanero peppers. Additional spicy sauce, and it was in like the Sicilian style where it's like really thick. It's like Square Pie Guys, right? Where it's like this deep dish sort of thing. Like it's fluffy and yeah, square crust. It was really good, but it was so spicy. There was a lot of spice. I was a bit of a wreck. They also do gluten-free though, which was great. So I wasn't that much of a wreck. I was just a wreck from the spice. So yeah. Yeah, there's an in-game skin for the Doomslayer with the pizza thing. So, yeah, I'm very excited. I didn't know Xbox showed off a custom Harley Davidson decked out in Doom decals and flair last week. What? There's also a little different bundles. There's a Doom special Dark Ages controller. God, dude, I have so much. I have the controller, or I have my own pro controller, so I feel like I don't need another controller, but goddamn, if Xbox doesn't make their controllers look super sick, you know? Ugh. The Dark Ages collector bundle is out. That's okay. As cool as the statue looks. Man, ugh. Looks so nice, but it's okay. The Dark Ages premium edition is $100. It gets you the base game, early access, starting yesterday. Campaign DLC, digital artwork, art book and soundtrack, Divinity skin pack, Void Slayer skin pre-order bonus. See, again, I don't want a digital art book. I want the physical art book. Ugh. Okay, getting Doom the Dark Ages and the themed controller is $139. That's honestly not awful considering the controllers usually go for way more. The standard edition of Doom the Dark Ages will be $70, or it'll be on Game Pass at launch, which is great. So, there are some Steam key deals where the premium edition is $83 as opposed to $100. That's pretty cool. I would do that, but I think I'm going to have time for just the base game right now. So whenever the DLC and stuff comes out, I will buy those accordingly, or just have my Game Pass going, you know? Yeah. I'm very excited for that. I cannot wait. I don't know if we'll be starting it tonight. We'll see. Actually, no, tonight I am busy. I'm actually going to be doing a talk at a college, local college, which will be really cool. I'll be speaking for UCI, which is the California University of California, Irvine. So I'll be speaking there for a class, which is very cool. Yeah, so I won't be able to play tonight, I don't think, but I will play tomorrow morning and we'll be playing that for quite a while. I think that'll be my next just straight playthrough. Yeah, that'll be cool. And of course, we'll be playing it on Hurt Me Plenty, hardest difficulty. Because I hate myself. Yep. Yep. Actually, is Hurt Me Plenty even the hardest difficulty? Let me see if they have the name for this one. Okay. Rock, paper, shotgun reported on this. I'm trying to look at the difficulty names, potentially. Okay, Nightmare is the highest. I think I started Eternal on the highest difficulty, and I believe that was also called Nightmare. It's been a minute. I tried to play Eternal. I tried to finish it, but the platforming honestly kind of drove me up the wall, and I got it kind of glitched out a couple of times. So I will come back to that. Luckily, Doom the Dark Ages is a prequel, so I can play this and then go back to it. So, yeah. Yeah, so I'll be playing it on Nightmare difficulty. And probably raging a lot. But I think I'll be fine. Okay, so in terms of gaming news, I think that's a lot of it. I mean, there's not a lot happening right now. We talked about the Switch 2 earlier. And yeah, there's not a lot happening currently. Wait till next month where Summer Games Fest will be popping off and we'll get all sorts of things. I already have things lined up. My calendar has been already formed and I am going to be so tired and so busy. But, you know, yeah. Yes, Omega Nerd, the platforming was annoying. I don't mind some of the changes they made in Doom Eternal, but man, if it didn't take me a while to get used to the first person platforming, and Doom Slayer moves around so quickly that it would throw me off. Oh my god, it would throw me off a ton. But yeah. I also want to comment on if I play Doom the Dark Ages and get through it, then I can do a review of it. Which I'm not sure if y'all would care about if it's like a week after launch. I know people usually like it at launch, but I think that doing a review after I play is probably fair. And I didn't get early access to it, so I think that's when I'll be doing it. So I'll be doing that as well. I'll be doing my early impressions conversation on Friday morning, I believe. Yes. So, yeah, for those of you who don't know, I am now a Playboy Bunny, and they've been really pushing me to do like a live stream on their platform, which their platform, like when you're doing that sort of stuff, it has to be like safe for work, right? So I was thinking of potentially starting like a series, which I think could be kind of funny, sort of like a review discussion, but like in lingerie. Because I don't do nudes or anything like that. I think it could be very funny. Because I will still do the same amount of writing, the same amount of research and such. I'll just be in, you know, a little less clothing. So I'll be doing my like first impressions there on that platform on Friday morning. And then I will probably record the audio. And then for people who are subs here and subs on Ko-fi, I will give that to y'all for free because that is what Ko-fi is for. Ko-fi is for my like podcast, what's it called? Podcast bonuses and such. And I've been kind of neglecting it just because I have not been great at doing podcasts. So, which I think doing it live has been helping a lot. I've been able to push content a lot. Also, a few people commented saying they like this format a lot more because it feels more engaging. I hope you guys have been liking it. I have been trying really hard. It's hard some days getting up and trying to do content. I know people are like, oh, you get to play video games for a living, but it's hard sometimes, man. You still get burnout. Okay, so yeah, I think that's what's coming up the rest of this week. I will probably have another podcast. I'm going to try to do 3 days a week, right? And then potentially ramp it up to every day with this. Again, it just sucks that the past few days there's just been really bad lack of content to report on. But yeah, thanks for listening, and I'll see you in the next one.